99.7 DJX, the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show podcast.
Supplying every demand.
On demand.
Good morning, Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. Hi there, Kelly.
Hello.
Today, National Tell a Joke Day. So I know it's not you laugh, you lose sort of day, but I thought it might be interesting to see how AIs handle telling a joke. Because I know if you've got an Alexa, a lot of times you just say, hey, Alexa, tell me a joke. And Alexa will tell you a joke. Siri does the same thing. So why not hit them against each other?
Okay, this sounds fun.
All right. Perfect time to have a little Alexa and Siri joke off, if you will. Let's get some appropriate music here. Okay. Alexa, National Tell a Joke Day.
What's brown and sticky?
Oh, gosh, we know this.
A stick.
All right. Thank you.
It's a classic.
Siri.
What did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet?
Okay.
I don't know what did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet.
Supplies.
The rim shot helps.
Supplies,
it really does.
Yes.
I think we've used both of those in our You Laugh, You Lose before.
Does that mean that we're getting our material from Alexa and Siri?
No, well, or they're getting it from us.
Okay. National Tell a Joke Day.
Which bear is the most condescending?
Which bear is the most condescending?
Oh, I know this one too.
The pan. Duh.
The pan.
Duh.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, her delivery could be improved a little.
Could be. Yeah. Could.
I only know 25 letters of the alphabet.
Oh, gosh. All right.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Hey-o. Hey. a couple more here on National Tell a Joke Day.
Why are elevator jokes so classic and good?
Oh, why?
Why are they so classic and good?
They work on so many levels.
They do. They do. 100%. All right. Wait, which one was this? Was this Siri or Alexa? I get confused as to who I'm listening to.
That was Alexa. Now, Siri, let's bring it home, okay?
If you see a crime in an Apple store, does that make you an eyewitness?
Oh,
okay. Statement jokes. They can still kill.
All right, so on National Tell a Joke Day, hopefully that got your morning started off right.
Wow, that was... You can't really pay for that kind of comedy.
Why would you? Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. Well, in breaking Hollywood news, J-Lo has apparently wiped all traces of Alex Rodriguez from her Instagram account.
Well, that's a statement right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, once you go Instagram official with Ben Affleck once again, yeah. I mean, it's not really shocking, is it?
Yeah, maybe it was out of respect to the old yet new boyfriend, Ben Affleck.
Maybe.
You know, apparently she unfollowed Alex over the weekend and removed all photos of him from her page. Now, I don't know about TikTok because she and Alex Rodriguez did some funny TikToks last year. Like they were.
Yeah, they were on that platform quite a bit together.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on her YouTube channel. He was a huge part of that.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I mean, that's probably way too much to delete from that. But, you know. Yeah. We'll start with the gram. You know what? I didn't have any exes on social media, didn't have social media when I had, you know, other boyfriends.
Right.
So I don't know, like, the protocol, if there is a protocol for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's personal for everyone where it's like there's no real set rule where it's like, all right, you broke up with a guy, now you are dating another person, and
you have to erase your past.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's like, look, this was my past, it's always a part of my past, and this is who I am, and so, you know, we had good times, and, you know, here he is.
It's probably a statement, too, on how the breakup went.
Yeah.
You know, usually if you're friendly and everything's fine, everyone was fine with the breakup, then you leave it up. But if not, then that's when you try to pretend it never happened.
Yeah, you know, and I'm kind of in the same boat, like, as you, where, you know, my wife and I have been together for, like, before social media was a thing, which seems like archaic. Like, it always feels like there's been some sort of social media, but...
You remember life before social media? It's hard to, but yes, there was life before that.
Well, yeah, and I remember seeing photos of, like, her and ex-boyfriends and things like that, mm-hmm. And that, and like, you know, she didn't get rid of those. I mean, I think she got rid of some of them, but like, she didn't get rid of them all, but she was just like, you know, this is part of my past. This is whatever. And I'm fine with it. It did take me a hot sec to like, why are you keeping those? And, you know, it was just a thing where whatever I got over it. And so. It's not like she sits there and keeps them in her wallet and like looks at them every day or something. It's just
right.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even.
They're
think...
not like in photo albums or
no,
in frames.
No. Not at all. Not at all. But
yeah,
anyway,
they're in boxes. I mean, thank goodness I'm holding on to prom pictures because that fashion should be reflected upon occasionally.
Yeah. For sure. So, yeah, J-Lo and Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, no longer, at least according to social media.
Safe to say they're not getting back together
right.
anytime soon. And that Bennifer 2.0 going strong.
So it seems that there is a onslaught of celebrities who are talking about their bathing or their smelliness. And one celebrity has... dived into the fold, but not because of his own admission. Yvette Nicole Brown kind of talks about Matthew McConaughey. And so if you're sitting there thinking about Matthew McConaughey, all the roles that he's played, maybe you could think, all right, that guy maybe smells a little bit probably like patchouli oil or...
Sure. I would say he's probably team not showering every day.
Right, exactly. Like
100%.
Like he looks like the type of guy who probably would go a day or two or three or four without showering. So Yvette Nicole Brown, you know, she's from Community and she actually worked with him on Tropic Thunder. That movie, like, I don't know, it was a long time ago. But anyway, she was being interviewed recently and she commented on the whole Matthew McConaughey and what he smells like.
I know. First of all, I'm a huge Matthew McConaughey fan. I remember that Matthew McConaughey said that he did not use deodorant.
Okay. So that's
wow.
where we're starting.
And that he didn't have an odor. So my first thought was, I'm going to get as close as I can to him to see if he's right. He smells like granola and good living.
Granola and good living.
Good living. What exactly does he has a sweet smell like?
Yeah. Well, she explains.
He has a sweet, sweet scent that is just him. And it's not musty or crazy.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So
he's right. He's like, you know what? Don't need it.
Yeah, doesn't wear deodorant, but he smells like granola and good living. So I'm that's,
you know what? That needs to be the next candle scent, right?
Right. I think she should patent that scent and just and do something with that. But anyways, yeah, Matthew McConaughey, even though he doesn't wear deodorant, smells like granola and good living. So good
Love
stuff
it.
There. All right, coming up next. The setting the bar story, and these are always examples of what not to do, and maybe an example of why handwriting and having good penmanship is important.
Okay, because, you know, things can be misinterpreted.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Kelly, what's a setting the bar story?
It's a don't do this, and you're making good life choices kind of a situation.
All right, maybe you're headed to school this morning. Remember your penmanship, all right? Remember, handwriting is going to be a tool that you're going to need for years and years and years for the rest of your life, right?
Absolutely.
So if you can manage to make it through the day without failing to rob a bank because of your poor handwriting, you're doing okay.
Okay, so explain, did somebody try to do that with just a note?
So a bank robber in England... handed a note to a teller, but his handwriting was so bad, the teller was like, had no clue it was even a robbery.
What's happening?
Yeah, it was just like, I don't know what this means. Like was looking
Can
at
you
the
explain?
Note. Yeah, was looking at the note, looking at the dude, looking at the note, going, I can't, what are you trying to do here? And so
oh my God.
The bank robber literally left empty-handed. And so...
Never mind.
I know. And so after, you know, I guess, you know, a few seconds or I don't know how long the bank robber hung there until he was like, you know what, I better just bolt before they figure it out.
Yeah. And they're getting a real good look at me.
Right. This exactly. Like, exactly.
You know, yeah.
So the bank robber left and wound up actually getting arrested robbing another bank. So apparently.
So the other bank could figure out the note.
Right. But then
I get it.
Later, the employees got together and was looking at this note and figured out what it said. And it said, "Your screen won't stop what I've got. Just hand over the 10s and 20s. Think about the other customers." But the handwriting was so bad, they couldn't figure out for the life of them what it read.
Wow. And then imagine the feeling like when they realized what was happening.
I know. Yeah.
And they foiled it just by being unaware of what's happening.
Yeah, for sure. So, let this be a lesson. Let's pay attention to your handwriting and your penmanship, all right?
Are you trying to say, hey, future bank robbers of America, are you make sure that your note is clearly spelled out so people know what you're trying to do? I don't think that's the message that we send.
No, I mean, I think it's, hey, let's not rob banks, sure. But let's also make sure that we have good penmanship so at least people understand what we're trying to say in our notes.
Gotcha. Our messages are clearly understood.
Yes.
But don't rob banks.
Right.
Got it.
There you go. That's setting the bar. Good morning, Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. Maybe you saw Don Cheadle trending over the weekend. You're like, Don Cheadle, veteran actor Don Cheadle. Why is he trending?
You may remember him from like the Ocean's 11 movies, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13. He's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's Oscar winner there. I mean, he's been in a ton of things. So Kevin Hart has a new show, right? And he was interviewing Don Cheadle on his show Heart to Heart. When Don mentioned that he's 56 years old, and I'm going to play this audio.
But at the same time, like I said, and me, you know, I'm 56 years old.
Damn!
Okay, so Kevin Hart just says, damn!
Uh-oh.
And Don Cheadle gives him a look. And as soon as he gives him the look, like Kevin Hart knows.
I'm sorry.
And then it just kind of gets awkward.
Because it was a thought. No, seriously. It was a thought. It was a thought, and I blurted it out.
I
did not mean it that way.
I'm fine.
Okay, but just understand, I didn't mean it the way it came out.
We'll take a poll on how you meant it.
No.
He meant it. You're old.
Yeah, like Kevin Hart's like, hey, you know what? It came out, but I didn't mean it the way it came out. And then, and like Don Cheadle would have just kept, he would have just kept rolling on with his story. But then Kevin Hart says that, and then he's like, you almost see him in the video, like tick and stop and go, wait, no, that's not what you said.
Uh huh.
With people here later after the show's over, but.
I can sit up here and honestly say, buddy, that was from a place of love.
Got it.
Like, damn.
You didn't. If we could play it back right now.
Play it back.
These are two different dams.
Don Cheadle's like, roll back the tape.
Not letting him off the hook.
No.
Now, I get it. In Kevin's defense, he did mean like, I had no idea because you don't look what I think 56 should look like. Like, that's a compliment.
Right.
In Kevin's mind, that's a compliment. It sounded bad, though. Like, wow, one foot in the grave.
Right. And Don Cheadle is not letting
go.
Yeah. Play back in slow motion.
There wasn't no...
There
was no, like... Wow,
I said, amazing. Damn.
Oh, no, you said the word damn.
I mean, it's so cringe.
This is a snowball. You are hearing audio snowball, and it's getting bigger and bigger and hurling down the hill.
Yep.
Do you want me to tell you how you said it?
I know how I said it, Don.
Do you want me to say it back to you how I think you said it?
Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
No.
So Don Cheadle was trending all this weekend, and it was because of that audio.
Oh, Kevin just wanted to take that word and just shove it back in his pie hole and, like, keep it from ever exiting.
Now, here's the thing. I think they're fine. Don Cheadle is assuring fans, listen, they were joking, and And you know, Kevin tweeted about it, and then Don Cheadle even replied to his tweet saying, checking into my flight this morning, counter lady looks at me, smiles wide, eyes get all this and was like, Don Cheadle? And I nod demurely, not unused to it. She blurts out, damn, next time I see you, Kevin Hart, you best cross the street. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're fine.
They're fine. It's fine. Kevin Hart pretty much gets a pass.
But you know, I have.
Because he's a comedian, so he can claim comedy. It's fine.
I have tweeted that video if you have yet to see it. Because the look Don Cheadle gives Kevin Hart when he, that opening line.
But at the same time, like I said, and me, you know, I'm 56 years old.
Damn.
I mean, the look he gives him, it was priceless.
But you know what? You know what? I would, again, take that as a compliment if someone reacts to me that way when they find out my age. You know, it's the same thing like J-Lo's 52. She looks amazing.
Damn.
I feel like people have thoughts. Like, once you cross the threshold of 50, that you're supposed to start looking like it. Like, I think people in their minds have ideas about what that age starts to look like.
Damn! And,
you know, yeah, it looks like that.
Yeah. So, we've tweeted it. You can watch it at Ben and Kelly Show. When you accidentally see something, you know you shouldn't have. It's kind of our group therapy. Coming up here in about 15 minutes on 99.7 DJX.
Yeah, you're already thrown into this moral debate with yourself. Like, do I tell or do I not?
Oh my gosh. And it's just like, you're sitting there thinking, why me? Why?
Yes, like, I didn't want to be here. This is not what my eyeballs wanted to see. I don't want to have to wrestle with this.
Ask for this. Right.
Yeah.
So that's coming up here in just about 15 minutes on 99.7 DJX. All right, coming up next, Feel Good. We do them every hour. Right about 15 after. Kelly, what are you working on?
Well, this could be a feel good or a feel bad, uh-oh, depending on how it ends up.
Okay, so it's unresolved yet.
Exactly. Ah. It's like, okay, so there could be a follow up. And
it could have a bad ending?
Well, yeah.
A
little. We're going to hope it's going to end up in the feel good lane.
Okay.
Like when you find something, and then if you don't find the rightful owner, you get to keep it. And this could be a really good thing. Or it might be a part of a crime. So it's a couple paths we could go down.
All right. Feel good with a question mark coming up next. All right, let's get to that. Feel good. Every hour we give you feel goods brought to you by Care Heating and Cooling, Kelly K.
So we go to South Korea where a guy bought a used kimchi fridge online and found $130,000 cash taped to the bottom.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's the potential feel-good part.
Okay.
So he was cleaning the recently delivered fridge, bought it online, found the cash stash taped to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, police are investigating, trying to find out who the seller was, track down those involved in the delivery. They have a lost and found act that states the cash will become the property of the guy who bought the fridge if they can't find the rightful owner.
Oh, all right.
However, here's a potential feel bad path.
Okay.
If it's found to have been involved in a crime,
uh-oh,
the money will become property of the state.
Oh, I gotcha.
So, potentially, this person might be $130,000 richer, or we have to give it back to the state.
Maybe temporarily richer.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they find out, yeah, it was involved in a crime.
Okay.
But apparently, this is not like an unusual thing. The Korea Times said that, you know, people have been keeping money stored in their kimchi fridges. The average fridge can hold like $895,000.
So they're keeping, okay, all right.
That's like a common thing there, apparently. That said, it may not be part of a crime. But
so
it could be.
This is also a reminder to you, if you're getting rid of your fridge, make sure that you take all your money that you've stored in it out.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, especially we just had a story last week about they were cleaning out grandma's fridge and threw out all that $25,000.
Yeah.
They found it. Feel good. Yay.
Okay.
But, you know, yeah, let's check fridges for cash.
All right. Feel good or feel bad.
Not sure.
Every single hour brought to you by Care Heating and Cooling on 99.7 DJX. This may be a, hey, I'm telling you this so you feel better about your own situation. But earlier in the show, we had a setting the bar story where a bank robber was unable to rob a bank because the note he handed the teller was so illegible that they couldn't understand what he was trying to do. So he left. So So we get a text message from a listener who said, my ex-boyfriend robbed a bank via note. Got the cash, stopped and struck a pose for the camera while flashing a peace sign. Did I mention that he was also wearing a very distinctive tie-dyed shirt? His mother turned him in for the reward. I'm not making this up. This was shortly after getting out of prison for borrowing, in parentheses, stealing a car to come visit me at college.
Oh my gosh.
He left his wallet under the front seat and parked in a loading zone.
Oh my God.
My parents were actually relieved when I started dating a pro wrestler after him.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh wow.
So there were, you know what, sometimes
that was a lot.
Yeah, sometimes it takes situations like that to make you appreciate the pro wrestlers in your life, you know?
Yes. With an ex-boyfriend friend was really bad at being a criminal a couple of times.
A couple of times.
Well, he could have. That was his own setting the bar stories.
That was. So
wow.
Yeah, maybe we pass this along so you can look at your own life and be like, oh, well, you know what? I'm doing okay.
You know what? I'm in a better spot now.
Yeah. So anyways, thanks for sharing. All right, coming up next, when you didn't ask to see what you saw, but now you're burdened with it.
Yep, you're dealing in the aftermath. You're trying to figure out, do I say anything or just walk away?
Yeah, it's Callie's situation with group therapy coming up next.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know who to turn to, so you can just write us a note or go to WDJX.com, click on the group therapy tab, and send us your situation. We'll toss it out to our listeners and try to maybe get you some opinions on how to approach this. And I'll just give you a quick, you know, there are some adult themes ahead, I would say.
Sure, I feel so bad for Kelly. She said, hey, Ben and Kelly, I recently caught a married supervisor getting physical with a coworker. My department regularly holds parties when we hit benchmarks ahead of time. And during that time, the floor where we work was pretty empty. I ran down to grab something from my desk. Saw this happening, froze for a few seconds, then turned and ran. I have never seen nor experienced anything like this in my life, and in hindsight, probably should have gone right to HR. Our office is close, so I know and am friendly with both of my coworkers, but I have no idea what to say. And since it's been a few days, I'm also nervous that no one's going to believe me. So what should I do? I should add that my friends and I suspected these two were having an affair, but didn't want to believe it because the supervisor is someone we trust and respect. Oh. The coworker is also two decades younger than the supervisor.
All right.
So there you go.
That's
a tough one.
Yeah, and I think morals, yes, this is wrong, obviously, but like this is one of those things at work where it's like, oh gosh, all right, well,
it could create a huge mess if it's brought to light.
Yeah. I mean, is it your business? I mean, it is your business since you saw it, I guess. Yes, it is now your business because you witnessed it actually happening.
But it doesn't sound like they know she knows.
Right, exactly.
So then that is, like, if they saw her, see them, I feel like maybe that's different. I don't know. Is this a situation where she goes straight to the sources and just like, hey, I saw you doing this. So, and then like address it with them instead of like throwing them under the bus with HR?
Well, I don't know if I would feel comfortable going to my supervisor and saying that. No.
Yeah, I like, that could be bad too.
Like maybe my peer who's having the affair with him, you know, maybe getting more information from he or she, you know, I don't know. Like,
but I feel like then that person is just going to be like, oh, please don't tell, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to toss it out to you. Maybe you've been in this exact experience like that Callie's in, and, you know, how did you approach it? 502-571-9970. It's group therapy. Group therapy. Callie.
Thank you.
Yeah. Witnessed an office romance, a supervisor and a coworker getting intimate. Now it's been a few days. She doesn't know what to do. That's where
a lot of people are kind of on team, like, don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa said, any office romance I've had to deal with, the people who know about it are treated worse than the people having the affair. I would just mind your business at this time. If it starts affecting how business is done or special favors being given, then maybe express your concerns to HR. But right now, no.
I think special favors are already being given.
Oh, hey, yo.
Roxanne said, hey, been there, stay out of it. Everything will come out in the wash. It only makes everything awkward for you to continue to work. But these people, if you say something, stay out of it until they get found out, because they're going to get found out.
Sarah on Facebook saying, stay out of it. What's HR going to do? Fire someone? Then you've messed up your team and caused unnecessary drama. Savannah's kind of saying the same thing. If you feel like the subordinate is uncomfortable or being forced into something because it's their supervisor, tell HR. Otherwise, mind your business.
Yeah, Jennifer, you're kind of saying that same thing, like quid pro quo, right?
I'm okay. Hey, I think the Callie needs to go to the coworker, not the supervisor, and find out if it's a consensual relationship.
Okay.
I didn't even think of that, yeah.
Let me tell you that I wish somebody would have done it to me, because it was a quid pro quo kind of situation, and I didn't know how to get out of it.
Okay, so maybe the coworker that's 20 years age difference from the supervisor is looking for a way out, doesn't know how.
Right. Doesn't knows that it's wrong, doesn't want to be there, and is looking for a way out. And she needs to go ask, hey, is this consensual? And then from there, figure out, you know, okay, what to do next.
Good thoughts, Jennifer. Thank you.
Thanks.
I would say probably 9 out of every 10 messages we're getting on this are, hey, you know what? Stay out of it.
Exactly. They're going to sink their own ship eventually. Nicole's like, I'd personally make note of the details. Witness, though, that way, if anything does come up later, as far as like a harassment suit, you can refer to said notes for details. Otherwise, let it be. Unless you're close with the wife of the supervisor, let it go.
There are a handful who are saying, use it to get a raise from your supervisor.
Oh, you guys are savage. Listen. That is not how we want raises.
I want a 50% raise or all this comes out.
Well, I'm telling everybody.
Man. All right. So hopefully this helps you figure out kind of how to approach this, and approach it, meaning like don't approach
it. Don't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe. Yeah. Just kind of let it go. Let it play out.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't involve you. Try to forget what you saw. Which, that's difficult, I get.
Yeah.
But just mind your business.
All right. If you want to chime in, Facebook at Ben and Kelly Show, or 502-571-9970, our text line. You can always do it that way as well. That is group therapy. Good morning, Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. And we are going to be giving away tickets to the State Fair all this week, okay? And we're going to be doing it every day right about this time. Now, I have developed skills.
We use that term in quotes.
I have developed skills over the years that allow me to hear your voice and have the ability, based on the sound and timbre of your voice, to guess your age within, or guess your weight, I should say, within 5 pounds. Now you're like, Ben, how
can you do that?
Yeah.
And listen, if this whole radio thing doesn't work out, maybe this is your next path. A carny.
Okay. So, we have Angie on the phone, ready to play Guess Your Weight. Angie?
Yeah.
do you want to play?
Yeah, sure.
Angie, okay. What is your favorite attraction at the fair?
I don't know what it's called, the UFO ride, the thing with the gravity.
All right, I trust you. All right, Angie, so we're playing Guess Your Weight. So based on the sound and timbre of your voice, I'm going to attempt to guess your weight within 5 pounds. Now, if I can do that, then you lose. But if I cannot, then you will win 4 tickets to the fair along with parking. Sound good, Angie?
Yes, Barry.
And you're cool with admitting your weight on the air, right?
Yeah.
All right. Just wanted to get that out there. All right. So, few questions. Angie, what is your favorite color?
Gray.
Do you like dogs or cats better?
Dogs.
Angie, I'm going to need for you to rub the phone on your booty.
Sure, there you go.
Okay, all right, great. Angie, within 5 pounds, I'm going to say that you are 150.
Absolutely not.
Oh, what? Was I close?
You're not even close.
Okay. Well, Angie, good news for you. You just won 4 tickets to the fair, okay?
Yay, happy kids.
All right, Angie, congratulations.
Oh, man. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Oh, she is like rethinking her life
she's
choices
like,
right
what
now.
Did I just
she's
do?
Getting the tickets.
What?
I mean, did you hear that my dogs reacted
I know.
To her answer? They're like, yes, that's the correct answer. Thank you, Angie.
They're like,
Megan's
yes,
like,
dogs.
She's texting, I'm uncomfortable.
That's one thing that I am very good at also is making people feel uncomfortable.
Oh, you're amazing at that.
All right, so there you go. It's time for your feel good. Every hour at around 15 after each hour throughout the morning, we give you feel good stories brought to you by Care Heating and Cooling. Kelly K.
So we go to a minor league baseball game mm-hmm. in Michigan. And people were brought to tears when they watched a 96-year-old World War II vet named John Pileman deliver the national anthem.
And the rockets ready to glare, the bombs bursting in the air, gave a proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave, or the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Wow.
I
that
mean,
is pretty cool.
It just sounds
that is pretty cool.
Different when it's coming from a 96-year-old who fought for this country
oh, yeah.
in World War II.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It's just brought everybody to tears. The video has been seen over 3 million times. The announcer just humbly said, thank you, John. Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Just chills all the way around.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we've got that up. I've tweeted it at Ben and Kelly Show. You can see that. And then if you didn't happen to see the Field of Dreams game that happened last week, Kevin Costner mm-hmm. and the two teams walked out of the cornfield. I mean, it was just so cool. And that kind of inspired people to watch the movie Field of Dreams again. You know,
right.
streaming numbers kind of soared last week as people either didn't see the original movie because it was 1989.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're rediscovering how amazing it was. That's up there on the website as well, WDJX.com.
Good deal. Feel good. Every hour throughout the morning, brought to you by Care Heating and Cooling on 99.7 DJX.
Coming up on the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show.
All right, so if you recall, she and her husband separated briefly because of infidelity on her part. Only 6 months into their marriage, they reconciled. This was a couple years ago, but his family never really forgave her. And so they were seeing everyone this past weekend with some sort of family get together, and she was like, I feel like I need to like say something. And
yeah, so and we were kind of thinking that's probably going to be a bad idea, and you know, just like time
yeah.
and your actions are probably going to speak louder than anything you could say.
Yeah, so we have an update for you. Yeah, a lot of times you send us messages, especially if you don't know who to ask for help, and what we'll do is we'll toss it out to our listeners and try to get you at least a direction in which to, you know, approach your situation. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're definitely both working hard on our marriage and we're so happy, but the problem is his family. I mean, they're not blatantly rude to me, mm-hmm. you know, they're definitely just being civil though.
Yeah, and so she admitted she was unfaithful 6 months into their marriage, but they had since reconciled and it had been a couple years, but the family was still kind of given that cold shoulder.
So she was thinking she needed to say something mm-hmm. at this family gathering over the weekend. And I think we were all like, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. Like, I feel like maybe time and you showing them you're committed to the marriage and not going to do that again is probably going to speak louder than anything you could possibly say.
Yeah. And so we got a message last night from her following up saying, hey, all, thank you for being somewhat kind in your responses. My husband and I are in a good place. The last piece was getting his family to forgive. Well, that didn't happen. At least not yet. But I think I know why. It started almost right away at the family function when his sister and husband came up and said hi. They didn't even acknowledge me. Just spoke to my husband like I wasn't even there. So I did what you suggested and pulled them aside and told them, I know they're still mad at me, but it's been almost 2 years and I'm here to stay and they need to start getting past this.
We did suggest, like, maybe if you want to say something individually would be best instead of a big public address. Okay, yeah. So how'd that go?
His sister looks me right in the face and says, honey, I don't even know what you're talking about, and walks away.
Okay.
Wow. I was pretty hurt, like I was never going to be forgiven. So later, his dad came up to me and pulled me aside. He told me he knew I was having a rough time with the family and to give it time. He knows I love his son, my husband, and knows I made a mistake, but it'll take time. Then he told me that he was unfaithful to my husband's mom, his wife, a few years before I came around.
So he knows how she feels.
Yeah, they had reconciled and the family was just starting to move forward when I had my, quote, slip up.
Oh, wow. Okay, that provides a little more backstory.
Yeah. She continues. So he said they're taking out all those frustrations started by his own infidelity on me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Like this isn't the family's first rodeo.
Right.
And they're, my
gosh.
Oh, that's tough.
She finishes it by saying, I don't know if that makes me feel any better or like I'm in a no-win situation.
Yeah.
But at least I know some of the reasons they've held this grudge for so long. I actually felt like his dad and I connected on a different level this weekend, and maybe he can be a help in getting them to forgive. Anyway, thank you for all your help.
Yeah, at least now she's got kind of an ally.
Yeah,
in
maybe
the family. I, you know, if nothing else. But yeah, I mean, dang, with that kind of backstory, it does magnify her situation.
As long as she and the dad don't get too
chummy.
Connected.
Yes, no, I get it. Yeah, cheaters unite.
Let's just let it be what it is. But yeah, hopefully, you know, you continue to mend fences. And like we said on Friday, I think time and you proving, you know, day in and day out, you know, that you are committed is going to be the best way to reconcile. So,
well, yeah. And the biggest thing is, again, just to concentrate on your marriage. That's really what's the most important factor here is that you and your husband continue, you know, getting stronger by the day. And that is where your focus should be.
All right. So there's your update. Thank you again for coming to us with group therapy.
Here's what's coming up with Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX.
Guys, Gary stole a horse.
That's such a sharp left turn. Gary stole a horse. That's not good.
It's our setting the bar story. Coming
Gary.
Up.
Gary.
Dang it, Gary.
Dang it, Gary.
In about 10 minutes. 99.7 DJX, Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. We always give you setting the bar stories every single day as an example of, you know, what not to do, how not to go through the day, you know?
We're pretty confident you can avoid the situation and you can hold your head high and say, you know what, I'm making good life choices.
Yeah, that's right. So instead of setting the bar very high for you as something to achieve, this is, you know, a story so you can look back on this moment regardless of what may happen today. Maybe you're getting pulled over. Maybe, you know, you don't do as well on a test. You can say, well, at least I didn't do that. Okay. So coming up, Gary stole a horse.
See, when you say the key word here being stole, as in it's not his horse, someone else's horse, that's bad.
I mean, we could stop there, but there's more, okay?
Okay.
You're setting the bar story.
Where can we take this?
Right. Setting the bar story coming up here. Yeah, setting the bar stories. Kelly, explain what a setting the bar story is.
It's a don't do that kind of story. Yeah. Just don't do this. And you are making good life choices. You're doing okay in life.
All right. So if you can manage to make it through the day without trying to steal a horse, Gary, but then hiding it in your bedroom, you're doing okay.
I'm sorry. What? He put it in his bedroom? That logistically sounds difficult, especially if there's stairs involved. Were there stairs involved?
So, you know, there are lots of problems with stealing animals that aren't yours. They're hard to keep under wraps if anyone actually comes looking for them, especially one that's five times your size.
Oh, wow. That's, yeah, that's a, it's a big horse.
So Gary Coble Jr., he decided to steal a horse. Witness saw him riding it, but then the witness saw Gary take the horse inside his house.
That is unusual. Most horses are kept outside.
Yeah, so then the witness was like, that doesn't seem right. So called the police. Deputies arrived. They saw a little horse poop in the living room. That seemed unusual, you know.
I bet that was really big.
And so, you know, I'm sure they're like, hey, Gary, you got a horse in here? Gary's like, nope.
I don't know what you mean.
And what's that, Gary? That's definitely not horse poop. Hey, Gary, what are those noises coming from your bedroom?
Definitely not a horse.
Yeah, so deputies go through the house. They find a horse standing in the middle of his bedroom.
Good. He's all like, that's not mine.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Which is a true statement.
It wasn't his. That's right. Good news. Horse was okay outside of a little cut on its left leg. It's going to be okay. The horse's name is Jubilee. Jubilee was just happy that it was not in Gary's bedroom anymore.
Oh, yeah. Jubilee is probably like, hey, you guys got some carrots?
Yeah. Apples? Anything? Gary charged with larceny of livestock. So, and by the way, he was already wanted for throwing a mandolin into a pasture, which I didn't know was against the law, but yeah.
That is an interesting, unusual crime.
So again, there are a lot of ways that if you want to ride a horse, you can do that. You can take horse riding lessons. There are different places where you can take horseback riding.
A lot of options.
Yeah, for sure. But don't
Did he want a pet? Do we know? Or did he think that, you know what? I'm going to get me a racehorse and I'm going to be Bob Baffert. Is that what he was thinking? Maybe?
I think you're trying to give Gary way too much credit.
I am.
So again, setting the bar. If you can manage to make it through the day without trying to steal a horse, Gary, and hiding it in your bedroom, you're doing okay.
Like, fitting it through the doorway had to have been challenging. Like, that's exactly where my mind goes. I'm picturing putting the horse in the bedroom.
That's setting the bar. 99.7 DJX, Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. Well, now we hear maybe it was just a joke, but when we saw that Don Cheadle was trending and then saw why Don Cheadle was trending, it certainly didn't look like a joke.
No, he looked like legit offended, but I mean, that could just be a testament to the great acting prowess of both Kevin Hart and Don Cheadle.
Yeah, so Kevin Hart has a new show on Peacock, Heart to Heart. Had Don Cheadle on. And then this exchange happened.
But at the same time, like I said, and me, you know, I'm 56 years old.
Damn!
Okay. So Kevin Hart reacts.
That took Don off guard, we think.
Yeah, because immediately he shoots Kevin a look, and Kevin is like,
I'm sorry.
And then it just kind of snowballs from there.
Because it was a thought. No, seriously, it was a thought. It was thought, and I blurted it out.
I'm fine.
Okay, but just understand, I didn't mean it the way it came out.
Okay, so Don was ready to move past it, but then Kevin just kind of keeps digging himself into a hole.
He's belaboring the point.
We'll take a poll on how you meant it people here later after the show's over, but
I can sit up here and honestly say, buddy, that was from a place of love.
Got it.
Like, damn. Oh, that was from... Like, damn.
You didn't... If we could play it back right now,
play it back.
These are two different dams.
He's like, roll back the tape.
Now, roll back the tape. Like, I feel like he meant that as a compliment. Like, wow, right. You don't look like 56 or what I think 56 should look like or something. Like,
Don Cheadle is just like, roll back the tape. And Kevin Hart's just, I just said, damn. And
yeah, Don Cheadle's like, you called me old.
Yeah.
Play it back in slow motion.
There wasn't no.
There was no like.
Wow.
Damn.
No, you said the word damn. Do you want me to tell you how you said it?
I know how I said it, Don.
Do you want me to say it back to you how I think you said it?
Go ahead.
Oh man.
No, so, you know what? This was all set up. Like, this was not.
It was great.
As controversial. Oh, yeah, it's fantastic because it looks legit. Like, you believe Don is ticked off, but. It's fine.
So,
I mean, like the source.
Yeah, like I said, now we find out, and Don Cheadle even says it was a joke, and they had a pretty funny Twitter exchange between the two. So there's no real, like, hard feelings between Don Cheadle and Kevin Hart, but the exchange itself was awkward, funny, and
You were kind of like, want to be like Homer Simpson going back in the bushes on meme for Kevin.
I'll tell you, if Kevin Hart wanted some free publicity on his new show, that's the way to do it.
Oh, he's got it.
Yeah.
You can see it. It's up on our website, WDJX.com.
Yeah. All right, coming up, it's your feel-good story. We always do these every hour throughout the morning, brought to you by Care Heating and Cooling. Kelly, what are you working on?
Well, it has feel-good potential.
Okay.
If it goes down one path, if it goes down another path, it's like, oh, dang it.
It has feel bad potential.
Possibly.
Okay. So we got a couple things for you to catch up on the group therapy podcast up at WDJX.com. Click listen. One is we wound up getting an update from the listener who we spoke with on Friday who had a family function she was attending. It was her husband's family that she was going to be with. The issue was she had been unfaithful to her husband early into their marriage.
And the family a couple of years later, still mad.
Yeah. So we did get an update, and I guess it's not a, like, hey, great, all is forgiven. It's kind of
we're kind of in the same spot, but we do get a little bit more of an understanding of where the family's coming from. There's a little bit more backstory.
Right. So catch up on what you missed there on the group therapy update on line WDJX.com. And then earlier, man, when you happen to see something you're not prepared for or you're not even inviting or asking, and then all of a sudden now it's your problem, that's a tough spot to be in.
You know what I thought immediately when I was hearing about it? I thought of Phoebe. My eyes! She sees Chandler and Monica making out for the first time.
Have you ever walked in on someone at a party or at work or wherever?
Thank goodness, no.
Getting physical with one another?
No. Thank goodness, because I have no idea what I would do. I would probably just run away, hide, try to forget what I just saw. Like, I hate confrontation. You know, I hate confrontation. I hate it.
So can
I hate it.
Can I tell you a story?
Okay.
So I worked at a radio station in Indiana.
Oh God, I thought you were going to say something about our coworkers and I was about to get awkward. Like,
No. I worked at a radio station in Indiana and I worked the evening shift. All right. So I worked from 7 to midnight. And after I got off work, I left, and then I'd forgotten something I remember at the radio station, and I came back. Well, the guy who was working overnight at, you know, from midnight until 5 a.m. on one of the other stations had gotten there, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes before I left. And so I leave, I forget something, and I come back, and I had forgotten something, not in our studio, but in one of the adjacent, like, production rooms, right? I walk in and he's in there along with someone else. And I was
Did you know the other someone else?
I did not.
Okay.
But it was dark and I was getting ready to turn the light and I see the silhouette of two people and I see him wave and I turn around and walk out.
Okay.
I was just like, all right, you do you, buddy. Or at least someone is. And I am leaving. I mean, that literally didn't take long. Like, this person must have been waiting at the back door for when I left to come
maybe
in.
Maybe a special listener.
Right.
I'm coming to collect my prize.
Right. I'm coming to collect my prize. I was like, well, how you doing? All right.
Hey, yo.
I'm going to go ahead and leave now. All right. Bye-bye.
Perks of working the overnight there.
No. So anyways, all right. If you missed anything from the show, you can always catch up on the podcast at WDJX.com. Anything else from you, Kelly?
Well, we started the show with it. I feel like we need to end the show with it. National Joke Day. We had Alexa and Siri telling us jokes, and that was a really long time ago. I feel like we need to toss a couple out there before we say goodbye.
A couple from Alexa and Siri?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What's brown and sticky?
What is brown and sticky?
A stick.
Okay. Are you sure this is a good
classic
idea, Kelly? Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, no, it's a classic. We've used that one before.
All right, one more from Siri on National Telejoke Day.
What did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet?
Okay.
What did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet?
Supplies.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Slay, Siri, slay.
All right, have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show podcast. Come back tomorrow for a brand new episode. Only from 99.7 DJX. Brand new episode. Brand new episode.